Good morning, this is Sunday Dhamma Talk on Radio Thailand. And every Sunday, we're meeting you and talk about the Dhamma. The Dhamma is the teaching of the Buddha. The Buddha teach about many things, and very important things if we were to segregate into two parts. He talk about the things that we need to purge, the things that we need to get it away, terminate it, and those unwholesome stuff. And he also talk about the good things that you need to cultivate, that you need to encourage and learn and practice, and that is a wholesome things, wholesome action. So basically talk about good and bad things, the good things you should cultivate, the bad thing you should purge, you should terminate it. But this is the problem, you see. In the society today, people seem to, some people misunderstood what is need to be purged, understand it as what is need to be cultivated. And that's why this Sunday Dhamma talk is dedicated for you and for everyone who is listening to, you should know about the teaching of the Buddha. And when you listening to the Dhamma, you should listen attentively, carefully, vigilantly, lend your ear to it. If you drive a car, that's okay. You know, you can drive a car and listen at the same time. But when I say contemplate and listen carefully means you reflect it wisely. You put your appropriate attention into what you hear. What are we going to talk about today? So basically, every time I come here, I will mostly talk about the practicing. The practicing in terms of how do you get the teaching into the practice. You know, every time when you come into contact with things that coming into your life, how would you handle that? How would you reflect or respond to those things that come into your life? Let's start off with what you have now. In your mind, I mean you and your body and your mind, right? And your life consists of your body and your mind. And let alone those people outside of your life first. When we first born out of the mother womb, you know, come out the first day of your life, you already have your mind, you already have your body. And then when you grown up, you have learned some more thing, increase your perception, go to school, you know, meeting people, making friends and all that. So all this encompass around your body and your mind. So it's good to understand what is your body and what is your mind first. You know, let's start from your body. Your body, your limbs, your body, your head, your hair, the legs and feet and all that are made of material form, you know, consisting these four great elements. And these four great elements is the earth element, the water element, the air element, and the fire element. The earth element, the water element, the fire element, and the air element. And your body are procreated by a mother and father. You know, you was born because of your mother and father. And with this consisting of the four great elements, so let's come down deeper into take a look at what are these four great elements. The first one is the earth element. Inside your body, take a look carefully. If you find something that's solid, solidified, and that is the earth element, like what? Like your hair, your head, your body, the nail, the teeth, the skin, flesh, sinew, bones, bone marrow, kidney, your heart, your liver. Something that's solid and solidified. So that's called the earth element. And the water element, you know, inside your body, if you find something inside your body that are watery, you know, is watery and can clung into. And those are, for example, your phlegm, your blood, sweat, fat, tear, urine, all these are watery. And that is called the water element. And inside your body, if you find something that is fire, fiery, the fire or the fury inside your body could be the heat, the temperature of your body that can actually digest those things that you eaten, drunk, or consumed. So this is the fire element. So inside the body, there are also the air element, or something someone called as a wind element. So anything that is air and airy, you know, like the your breath inhales and exhales, and the wind that in the belly, wind in the bowel, you know, and the wind in the that cross through the limbs. So all these are the four great elements: the earth, the water, fire, and the air. So this element, anyone should have seen it as actually is. If you look at the earth element, whether the earth element inside your body, something that's solid, or something outside like a cup, a mug, or the tree, or the wood, all these that's solid and solidify, those are the equally the same. It's the same earth element because the nature of it that is solid. And that's why it's solid. That's why it's called the earth element. And when you take a look at that, you take a look at it carefully, as it actually is, with the proper wisdom. You know, something that is actually changed, something that is unstable. If you look at anything that changed, anything that unstable, and that is called suffering, according to the Buddha's definition. Why is it suffering? Because it's unstable. That's why it's called suffering. Because it's chained. That's why it's called suffering. Because it's subject to pain. That's why it's called suffering. If you look at all these four great elements inside your body or outside of your body, and they are subject to change. They are subject for pain and they are unstable. If you look at the building, you know, it's the earth, definitely is the earth element, or a mountain. You know, people just destroy mountain and they dig into it, dig the big hole, and all these are unstable. Whatever unstable, whatever the changeable, you should look at it as it actually is, with a proper wisdom, and saying that this is not mine, this is I am not, and this is not myself. Before you can look at your body in these four great elements like that, with contemplation, with the consideration, what do you use for contemplation? What did you use for consideration? Of course, the answer is your mind. You need to use your mind, your consciousness, you know, as the way to analyze, the way to have attention. And that's why we also need to understand about your mind. You know, what is your mind? Your body. You know, there are five channels for your body as the door or the gate into your mind. For example, your eyes, your ear, your nose, the tongue and touch. All these are the five senses that are just like a door, act as like a gate to your mind. When you see certain things, see a form from your eyes, and then the form contacted your eyes. And when the form through the eyes, and then there's eye consciousness. And that's why the contact occurs. Contact takes place. Because of this contact as condition, that's why feeling comes to be. Same thing as your ear. When your ear encounter with the sound, with the ear consciousness take place. So these three components become contact. With the contact as condition, the feeling comes to be. These act as the door. These five senses, the faculty of senses, act as the door for the external things to enter your mind. So this mind is a consciousness. It can cognize on things. Because it's cognized, that's why it's called consciousness. Your mind can cognize on all the senses, of course. Your mind can cognize on thing in the past, can cognize in thing in the future, can cognize sound, cognize pictures, cognize the taste. That's why it's called cognition or consciousness. So with your mind and your body, and that's become you, and that's become us, that's become a human being. when you understand your mind and the body, you know, there are more details into this. For example, when you see certain things, or when you hear certain voices, and the sound get through your ears, and then your mind cognize it, right? Your consciousness cognize the sound. When your consciousness cognize the sound, what happened is the perception will take place. You know, there's a contact there. When there's a contact through your ears, the perception will take place. This perception is another aggregate. So inside our body, there are five aggregates. You know, one is a form that we talk about, the four great elements. The mind parts, there are four types of them. Number one is your consciousness. And this is number two we are talking about. It's your perception. Perception is the name, is the mind. Part of the mind is a name. Inside our body consists of name and form. The form is the four great elements. And the name is your mind, is one of the things, consciousness. And the second one is the perception. What is the perception? The perception is whatever they can perceive. That's why it's called perception. It's according to the Buddha's definition. Why we call it perception? Because it's be able to perceive. And that's why it's called perception. Perceive from what? If you can see this thing, then you know that, oh, it's yellow color. And that's called perceive. Perception. You encounter this contact at this temperature. Then you perceive it as a hot or cold. You encounter certain voices through their contacts, and then you perceive that this is a nice voice, and this is male voice, female voice, and that is called perception. And this perception is taking place in us all the time. Every time you have a contact, you perceive certain things, like the voice. For example, if you don't understand the foreign languages, like Korean language, let's say, if certain voice enter through your ear and then become contact into your mind, your mind conscious about that, your mind cognize that sound. But if you don't have the perception of the Korean language, you will not get it, you will not perceive it, you will not be able to have the perception of the Korean language, and that's because you don't have that perception. And that voice will just no meaning to you, no perception takes place on the Korean thing. And this perception, there are six classes of perception. You know, the perception through the eyes, you know, perception from ears, perception of the touch, tongue, and all the six senses. And that's why there are six classes. Same as your consciousness. You know, your consciousness, there are six classes of your consciousness to all the six faculties. Same as perception. You know, every time when you have a contact, through all the six senses, the consciousness will take place. When consciousness arises, the perception also kicks in. When you perceive certain things, and then you begin to feel, this feeling is called Vedana. We will have the feeling according to what is come in touch. Let's say certain sounds contacted your ear, and then your mind cognizes. And then your perception kicks in. You perceive that is euphemism. Someone press you, or is the compliment. So when you have that perception, then you begin to feel pleasure. So that's why the third component of the names inside your mind is the feeling. And you can feel pleasure, painful, or neither painful nor pleasure. So there are only three types of feeling. Three types of sensation. Another meanings of the feeling is also sensation, you know, because in Pali it's called Vedana. Vedana, whether it's painful, pleasure, or neither painful nor pleasure. So when one feels certain things, one more thing about this feeling is that it's not the same as we use today. For example, one morning you wake up and you feel good, or sometime in certain thing, in certain situation, you feel hot, you feel cold, you feel creative, you feel innovative and all that. So that is not a feeling in the terms of Vedana. It's called perception. Why do I say that? Okay, let's say certain temperature, like right now, maybe 15 or 20 degrees Celsius. Some people perceive it as hot. Some people perceive it as cold. So whether you feel hot, you feel cold, is not actually the feeling according to this definition. It's actually the perception. You know, sometimes you feel drowsy. And because of the contact inside your body, you know, sometimes you feel a little heavy at the back of your eyes and strained at somewhere in the middle of your head, and then that perceived as a drowsiness. So the feeling, the definition of feeling actually only three, you know, painful, pleasure, neither painful nor pleasure, and that's it. The rest that we used to say, like feel hot, feel cold, feel creative, feel drowsiness, feel happy, feel good, feel bad, these are all perception. So this perception are the result of the context, because there are context, condition, that's why perception comes to be. And this perception also different from people also. You know, the people from the West perceive the 20 degrees Celsius as hot, some people. You know, but people from the East, from the Southeast Asia, perceive 20 degrees Celsius as cold. You know, so it's different perception in the same context. That's why people feel differently. And we need to understand these components inside your mind. You know, the last one is the formation, or is the volition formation. When we contacted certain faculties, and the moment we perceive certain things, and when we perceive certain things, we feel, we feel pleasure, painful, neither of them. And then the last component is we will respond to it. How do we respond? By formulating, by volitional formation. Now, sometimes we respond through the mouth, to the verbal. Sometimes we respond physically. Sometimes we respond mentally. So all these things take place all the time inside your body and mind. You know, your mind have consciousness, have perception, have feeling, and have the formation. Inside your body, there are four great elements: the earth, the water, the fire, and the air, which is the wind. So this encompasses your body and your mind. To understand this body and mind system, you know, listening to this program can help you. But the content of the program is one thing. The most important thing is actually your mind. Your mind is need to be concentrated. Your mind need to be focused. Like when you go to study in the classroom or go to take exam, your mind need to be focused and concentrated to learn about it. So when your mind are concentrated, then you can understand. How do you get your mind concentrated? How do you get your mind focused? That's why Buddha teach also about the object of focusing, object that you can use to focus. One of the things that very popular and very effective is using your breath, the breathing meditation. Be mindful, put the mindfulness in breathing. Maybe we can actually do it now. You know, when you breathe in and breathe out, because we need to breathe anyway, you know, when you inhale and exhale, the air moving inside your passage, the air passage in your nostril. You know, if you observe the air, the wind that moving from the tips of your nose through the nostril, getting to your throat and go to your lung and abdomen and all that. So the air is moving in and moving out every time, every minute when you inhale and exhale. So what you need to do is establish the mindfulness in front of you. What do you mean by in front of you? In front of you means where the air entering into your body. So the air entering into your body through your nostril. So this is the in front position. You establish the mindfulness, meaning you observe the contact point when the breath touches your nose inside your nostril. The air coming in through your nostril is called breath. If it's going in, it's called breathe in. It's going out, it's out breath. When the air is coming in and going out, become in breath and out breath, the air will have a contact, the touch of the tissue inside. Like when the wind breeze, a wind blow, you know, outside, whether it's from fan or whether it's from natural wind, when it touch your body, you can feel. You can cognize, you will be aware of the touches of the wind. Same thing as in your nostril. When the air entering into your nostril become the breath will touch your nose, inside your nostril. Some tissue in there is very sensitive. You know, when you feel and cognize the breath that touches your nose in your nostril, put your mind there. Focus on the spot. Be mindful on the spot where you can feel the breath touches your nose in your nostril. So this is the practicing of the breathing meditation. When you focus your mind on one single spot, your mind will gain concentration. And it's called focus. When your mind focus and concentrated, you can understand things because the mind has power. When the mind has a power, and the ability will increase in terms of understanding, contemplation, or reflect it. And that's why if you reflect it with your mind concentrated, you can reflect it wisely. That is called appropriate attention. To get your mind into concentrated mode, as simple as you focus on your breath, inhales and exhales. In this breathing meditation, there is actually quite details into that. For example, when you focus your mind, you know, mindful of your own breath at the contact points of the breath, when the breath touches your nose in your nostril. When you aware and concentrate of that, so while it's cognizing and conscious about your breath, it can cognize other things also, and can cognize thought, can cognize sound, cognize feeling in the body, and that's why it's called mind wander. Now you want to focus your mind on one single spot at the touch of your breath, but now the mind wander somewhere. You know, thinking about the past, about the future, about other people affair, about the things that you never want to think about, or things that you want to think about, it doesn't put the thought into. And that's why we need to control the mind. But if you control the mind too much, you get stressed. And if you don't really control the mind will wander everywhere. That's why it requires certain practice. And this practice is not difficult. And it can be done. Can be do it right now. You know, when you observe your own breath, when mind to start to wander, you know, let it be. Let it be doesn't mean you go together with them. You go together with them doesn't mean you go and formulate with them, follow them, be unrepulsive, and think about it more and more. Not like that. This is don't go with them. At the same time, you shouldn't have aversion into those things that come. It's a natural process. It's okay that your mind are cognized in certain things. It's the mind's job anyway. It's a consciousness task to cognize on things. So that's okay too. So what you need to do is to just let go those formations, let go all those things that come into your mind. So those things that come into your mind is actually the formation of the mind, the mental formation. You know, all these six things, the contact, the faculties, it's just like six animals. The Buddha compared this with the six animals. If you get these six animals from different domains, from different feeding grounds, let's say get a crocodile, get the bird, get the monkey, get the jackal, get the dog, and get the snake. And each one of them come from different domain, from different feeding grounds. And you tie them with a rope, the strong rope. The moment that you tie them with the rope, a strong rope, and then tie them together with a knot, let it in the middle, and let them go. So the moment you let go the rope, what happens is, whoever stronger, they will pull the rest of them away to their different domain, different feeding ground. You know, the crocodile will want to go into the water. The bird will want to fly up to the sky. The dog will want to go to the house, the villages. And all these, they will pull according to their own feeding ground. Same thing, the eyes will pull your mind to see the form. The ear will pull your mind to listen to the voice. The tongue will pull your mind to go and test. And all this will keep pulling your mind, pulling your mind, pulling your mind. So your mind will become restlessness. If you let them pull you around, you will be enslaved with all these contacts. What we need to do is to let go of those things. The moment you let go the feeling of the touches, the sound, the voice, the whatever object you see and hear and feel, all these faculties, you let loose. Meaning you need to tie all these six animals into the pole, or into a pillar, a strong pillar. Same thing here, you tie your mind into your breath, with your breath. Your breath inhales and exhale act as a pillar. Act as a pillar and resident or dwelling place of your mind. Let your mind come back here. You know, don't let the mind go with all these six contacts. So the moment your mind come back here, your mind will gain the strength, and then you can proceed, you can be concentrated. If we are practicing like this, you can gain the concentration of mind, you can see things from the way it is, then you can understand your mind and your body, your names and form. This is Sunday Dhamma Talk. My name is Pra Paibun Api Punno from Forest Monastery, Wat Pa Don Hai Sok, in Udon Thani. The time is up, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.